Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Just Another Dick, the presumptuous memoir of a truly unimportant person by Dick Gary, is the riotous story of a guy who has more stories than the Empire State Building. A man who started at the bottom as a jerk of all trades, made all the wrong choices, but eventually rose to respectability in an unconventional way. Dick's story begins with a rather rocky start, expelled from college, which propels him into a series of quirky and audacious jobs, from bartending in Atlantic City before he was of legal drinking age, to modeling, even managing a racetrack. His colorful journey doesn't stop there. Dick finds himself in the U.S. Army in post-World War II Germany, experiences a whirlwind 16-hour engagement, and eventually charms his way into a respectable career in radio sales, becoming the youngest general manager of a New York City radio station. All his crazy experiences unexpectedly led him and his wife to start an advertising firm that morphed into the music industry's premier go-to agency. He also has interest in politics and art and has raised a bunch of money in those fields for good causes. Dick Gary's Just Another Dick, a presumptuous memoir of a truly unimportant person, a beautiful and funny illustration of how a mid-20th century young man took the road less traveled and still ended up where he wanted to be. And Dick Gary is our guest on This Week in America. Dick, welcome to the program. Great to have you with us today.
Thank you very much, Rick. I'm very happy to be here.
What a remarkable story. What a remarkable life. I'm really looking forward to talking about this. Of course, the book, Just Another Dick's, available wherever books are sold. We'll give you that information as we go through the program. His website is justanotherdick.com. All of this on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. What inspired you to write this story, to sit down, to go back over all of these decades and write about the highs and lows of your life?
Well, first of all, I thought about writing, and I took some classes at the New School in New York many, many years ago. And I, you know, wrote a couple of short stories I did nothing with, but I was busy, you know, at the radio station, and I didn't have time, except the only time I had when I was recovering from a motorcycle or a go-kart accident. One thing, by the way, the book isn't so much in the stores as it is on Amazon. Amazon's a great place to get it.
Perfect. And we'll have that link up. So if you go to our website, you can hit the link there, Dick's website link also there. You can order the book there as well, Amazon, or on his website, justanotherdick.com. So you're going through this. You don't really have a lot of time to write this. When did you decide, okay, now's either the time I'm going to do it or I'm not going to do it?
I started at the beginning when I was a kid, and although the book doesn't start there, that starts when I got kicked out of college, and I just kept doing it, and it, you know, frankly, it went on for years. I'd get involved in something, you know, my wife and I got involved in a bunch of charity things, and sometimes I'd take a year or two off, and but you know, it there wasn't pressure to write because I didn't know what I was going to do with it. I had never really thought about writing a book, but you know, the pressure was just finding time to do it. But again, it was, you know, it wasn't a problem because I didn't have any timelines.
What was it like when you wrote the book and then you decided, okay, I'm ready to contact a publisher? What was that experience like, taking your original manuscript, taking it to a publisher to see about publication?
Well, that was interesting. I was fortunate, and there was a woman who used to live here who is now in L.A., Stacy Domalski, who was an editor and also a writer and a comedian. And she put me in touch with someone, a small publisher here in Utah. And there was really nothing to it, finding a publisher. But Amazon was the one that, you know, that did all the printing and you know, they're the ones that do, yes, the distribution, et cetera. So that, I was lucky. That was a big problem for me.
And the book is available at Amazon.com. We got a link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Information you can order on Dick's website, justanotherdick.com. I love the title. Once you get the book, you've got a title, and you've got to capture people's attention. In true Dick Gary form, you capture our attention with the title of the book. How did you come up with Just Another Dick?
Well, here's my wife and I, as you mentioned, had an advertising agency in Los Angeles, and it was all our clients were virtually all were music labels. And I was having a meeting with our creative department because I had an idea that I thought was just gangbusters. And they did not in any way, shape, or form. And finally, I got tired of it. I said, well, don't pay any attention to me. I'm just another dick. And and they went and printed out cards, business cards that said just another dick. And they turned out to be, you know, more popular and more effective than the straight ones. So when I got thinking about the book, I thought about that. But then the second part of it, I thought, who the heck is going to read this book by this guy they've never heard of, you know? And I thought that's where the truly unimportant person came from. I thought, oh boy, you know, I had really no expectations.
Well, it captures our attention. The book is a great read. You read all about what Dick went through and some of the lessons, and there are so many. Well, let's talk about that. When you were writing the book, what was it like for you to go back and to remember all of these experiences, to write on them? And some of these were paralyzed by the fear of failure. We're afraid if we fear life is over, we have nowhere else to go. You sort of thrived on that and used that as your momentum to go forward. What lessons did you learn when you went back and read the book? What were your thoughts like? Wow, you really have done a lot and overcome a lot.
You know, when I was all done with it and all done with the editing, let me tell you, I was recommended to Stacy, this editor, and I had kept writing and writing and writing, and I got to 400 pages. And I sent it to her, and she said, your first mistake, you single space. So I now had 800 pages to deal with that had to get down to somewhere between 250 and 300. And I think that maybe an author really does have a little bit of ego, because editing is hard. You know, you're thinking, gee, that was a great line.
Oh, yes.
Unfortunately, it took me a page to get there, you know. I enjoyed the writing. Now, there were things in there that I may have enjoyed writing, but I wasn't having a hell of a good time while they were happening. You know,
yes,
that story about many things that happen are much funnier in the retelling.
Well, it's such a fascinating read, and it will have you laughing. You'll be there rooting for Dickie as he goes through all of his journeys in life. The book is Just Another Book. You'll find Just Another Dick. You'll find it at Amazon.com. Dick's website, justanotherdick.com. And you can link on by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Besides family, which you're very proud of, working with your wife in the business, your son and daughter, what were some of the other highlights of your life as you look back that you go, you know, nice job?
You know, I think that of the businesses, I think that getting the racetrack was really a kick. I mean, I was a motorcycle fanatic and always had been a racing fan for cars and motorcycles. And all of a sudden, you know, one night after spending the evening with Jose Cuervo, these two friends and myself decided that there was a local racetrack 3 miles long that was a bit, well, it was an abandoned, the guy left them. I knew a fellow who was on the board, and we went and talked to him the next day, and we wound up with the racetrack. So, and then we put in, it was a 3 mile road race course, and we put in a motocross track. And me with my motocross, it was an on and off road. I mean, I just had the time of my life. And it was fun being involved in the business part of the sport that we loved. And so that was really a kick in the kick, you know.
When you
We
read
didn't
through,
make any money, but it was worth every penny we
well,
put in.
you enjoyed it, and that's a big part of life too, is finding those things that you enjoy. You talk so much about that, maybe the turning points in your life where you did this and good things began to happen. Is there a turning point in your life that you'd like to mention, or maybe some turning points that really got you going in the right direction to this very successful career in radio and the music industry?
Well, there sure is. And you just nailed it. I mean, after I got out of service, I had, a job selling vacuum cleaners and selling cars in a summer resort in the winter. That's not exactly the road to riches. And I thought about going back to college and trying to finish, but had to make some money. So I saw this ad from this New York employment agency about a what read like a lifeguard at maybe a women's health club. I thought, gee, that could be fun. So I went, and it turns out that was not what it was. It was being a chaser for people who weren't paying their bills. And my territory would have been Harlem, which was about as inviting to white folks then as the rest of the world had been to them, you know?
Yes.
So I wasn't going to do that. He said, "I got one other job for you." And I said, "What's that?" He said, "Salesman announcer at an FM station." I said, "Well, I'm not an announcer." And he said, in typical New York style, he says, "And I'm sure you're way too busy to go on the appointment." I said, "The heck with you, I'll go on the appointment." And I did, and I got a job at an FM station when it was still a very fledgling medium.
Yeah, this was what
And it
night.
was sensational because there were only six employees at the radio station.
Amazing.
And you got to do things. And it was one of those things where if you could sell something, they would air it. So I had a couple of ski shows and had a music show, and I worked the board, for the mics and the turntables and stuff for guests that came in and met all kinds of wild, great people in the jazz music area. And that was exciting and fun. And I really was my first involvement in creative. I got to write my own commercials, and I really liked it. And I really loved radio.
This is 1963. So if you're young, you're thinking FM radio has been around forever. In 1963, you mentioned FM radio and people looked at you funny. They weren't sure exactly what you were talking about. So you were there in the really the ground floor. What was the music format? I think the station was what, all Muzak at one point, the
Well,
soft
yeah,
instrumental.
Muzak owned it. And, so a radio, as you know, has two channels, main channel, sub channel. And they used the sub channel to deliver their incredibly boring background music, which they also had on the radio station. And so, I mean, most of they called it back in those days, they called FM doctor's office music, you
Yes.
know? And when I was very fortunate, I was a good salesman. I became the sales manager. And then when the manager left, I got his job. And after 9 months of tough negotiation, I changed the format. And FM was then starting to, emerge a little bit. I changed the format to pop. So that was interesting, very interesting in those days. The
And then,
music industry was pretty wild.
yeah, at that point, you were talking about all the corruption, the payola, all of this going on at that stage. I think during that era in broadcasting, the frequency, I think at 101.9 is now WFAN FM in New York, the big sports station there. So this was a good stepping stone for you. How did you get from there to Los Angeles in the music industry, and then having this leading agency in the music industry?
Well, what happened was I was the general manager of the WPIX FM, and they were very, con well, the company that owned them, the Daily News, was very conservative, and I was very liberal. And let's say we weren't in love. And one day I said to my boss, Hey, I have a terrific idea. And he thought that was original. And he said, what is it? And I said, fire me. And he said, what are you talking about? I said, you have a policy where if for every 6 months you work here, if you get canned, you get a week's pay. And I said, I'm a payroll junkie. I can't afford to quit. So I quit, and I wanted to. Yeah, I like skiing and I like the ocean. And I thought California might be it. So anyway, I got a job at a classical station in California where I had never heard a classical music song, you know. So, but I like the guy I worked for, and I went from that station to another background music station. I absolutely couldn't stand it, so I quit that. And the fellow who ran the owned the station, the classical station, had been a All-American football player from the he was from the coal mining regions of Pennsylvania, and he was a tough guy, you know, and no silver spoons sticking out of his mouth. And the guy opposing him at the when they played the universe, oh, he wound up at the at West Point. And the guy opposing him when they played, excuse me, the Naval Academy in Maryland, and they played the University of Maryland. And the guy opposing him was a really tough guy, another All-American. They beat the hell out of each other all afternoon and ran into each other at a bar in LA many, many years later. And, the other fellow was in the record promotion business, and my friend George owned station, so there was an immediate union there. And as a result of that, George got me involved, and I won't bore you with the whole story there, but bored you enough with this one.
No, it's
And
interesting.
I wound up in the music business, and because I knew, something about it, I quit, and my wife and I started this advertising agency, and because I knew the music industry, we, worked with major labels in New York and LA and Nashville, and ultimately became the primary source of advertising for them. So that was a good thing.
A very good thing. And Country Music Association, a longtime contributor, board member, the T.G. Martell Foundation raises a lot of money each year, part of that. So you moved from New York to Los Angeles, this very successful career. The book, by the way, is Just Another Dick. Our guest is the author, Dick Gary. His website is justanotherdick.com, book available at Amazon. And I understand as well what an audio version of the book will be coming out shortly.
Within 2 weeks, probably. Yes,
Fantastic.
yes.
So by the time many of
And
you are listening to this, you just check Dick's website, justanotherdick.com, and you can order that as well, the book available in various versions, available at Amazon, and directly order by going to justanotherdick.com. Time is going by so quickly. A few minutes left in the program. I want to talk about some of the messages as we're reading this. First of all, you handled this so much, at least as when you were writing it, with a sense of humor. How important was this sharp sense of humor you have in getting you through some of the difficulties, some of the shortcomings that you faced in your life?
I well, I'm half Irish, so that opens the door to humor.
Yes.
And for me, it's got to become a religion. I just that's the way I think, and that therefore that's the way I write. And someone, said it's self-deprecating, and I said, well, it's the truth. It's I'm not gonna I'm trying to write and tell the truth, and the message of the book might be. With my wacky life, the message of the book might be, don't, if you're unhappy with what you're doing, don't be afraid to take a chance. Take a chance, and some you win, some you lose, but even when you lose, you learn something. And I think you get something positive from taking a chance.
One of the points in reading this, you talk about your ups and downs and the fact that you need to have the courage to face them head on. talk about that again. Sometimes we run away from the downs. We're not real sure how to face it. You're saying take it head on and you'll be okay.
You know, I think that boredom has always been an enemy of mine. Circumstances, for instance, background music, radio stations that I didn't believe that the advertising I saw was helping them. So that didn't make me feel good internally. And I one thing I have always been, I think, is honest and ethical. And that kept me moving on. And I guess boredom or frustration, whatever, I couldn't deal with it. And I found that when I got that way, I also wasn't doing a very good job, of what I was getting paid for. So taking a chance was, when you thought of something, especially that you wanted to do, it was a kick. I enjoyed it. Like the difference between selling for a radio station, and I'm a big radio fan, by the way, don't interpret this as anything other. But I mean, selling for one radio station, that radio station has to be the answer to all your problems. Well, when you have an advertising agency, you can sell whatever you feel is the answer to your client's problems.
Yes.
So it's kind of a more honest way to live your life.
Yeah, a nice way to target the audience that's going to benefit the most from the product your advertising client has to sell. It's interesting when you look at where you are now. You're continuing to give back. I mentioned the fact that you're involved in the arts and music, and you give back in Park City. Talk about that. You've got a nonprofit there that's really doing some remarkable work.
Well, we started. We got here and the political situation, I guess by now you may have figured out I'm a Democrat, but the political situation here was, pretty Republican controlled, and there wasn't much, much opportunity. And we felt that young people we wanted to build registration, and we felt that the way to do it was with young people. So we started an organization called Voterize, and its mission was to get young people in Utah to register and vote. And, I think in our third year, we accounted for 30% of all of Utah's registrations.
Now, just that's amazing.
That may not be a lot, but we did before we turned it over to the Utah League of Women Voters. But before we did, we did about 30,000 registrations, which was a high number for here. It was interesting. It got us totally involved in politics here, which while now it's merely in support of some causes and candidates.
It's just amazing what you've been able to do and mobilize so many young people at getting them involved in the system. You said at the conclusion of the book, life has been extremely good to me, often despite me. Let's talk about that for a minute or so at the end. Overcoming shortcomings and facing those and moving forward. That's such an important message. And that really has been your motto in life, hasn't it? You just keep going forward.
Keep moving forward. Well, yeah, it's it's funny. I never had any dreams of importance, and I never thought of things that way. I just, if I had a job, when I finally shaped up and got into radio, if I had a job, I just wanted to do it as well as I could, or feel the guilt for not doing it.
Yes.
And that was my motivation, I guess. And it wasn't that, I want to be the chief of this or the boss of that. That never really entered my mind. It was just, and the things I kind of gained was just by, I guess doing a good job at what I was doing, but without that dream of importance.
It's a really incredible story. You'll enjoy, you'll laugh, you'll go through the ups and downs and what Dick goes through in the various stages of career to success in the radio business, success in music, success now in, I want to say semi-retirement. Is that close to accurate? You're still so busy, I don't even know if I want to put retirement anywhere in your description.
Well, my wife and I kid about the fact that we put the tired in retired.
Well, if you're going to do it well. So that's good. The name of the book is Just Another Dick, the presumptuous memoir of a truly unimportant person. The author is Dick Gary, our guest on the program. His website is justanotherdick.com. I'd like to thank Books to Life Marketing. Know your book's purpose in to life. Books to Life Marketing, their website is BooksToLifeMarketing.com. Know your book's purpose to life. I thank them for arranging our conversation today. And Dick, once again, before we wrap up here, Amazon's the best place to buy the book. They can get information on you and order the book by going to your website, correct?
Yeah, and one of the things, you know, after the book was out, one of the things, well, it hadn't been out that long, but one of the things that was really flattering was all the positive reviews on Amazon. I thought, whoa, we're talking about the same book here? You know?
They enjoy your story and what you went through and the positive attitude and that integrity that you talked about in a couple of businesses back in the early stages where it did not have a whole lot of integrity. And you went through that and maintained your dignity. You were able to leave the businesses better than when you entered it. And it's a remarkable story. And it will have you laughing as you go through the book. Just Another Dick. I said that one more time. I was trying to get that in as many times as I could during the 30
okay
minutes today.
Me.
I don't usually get to do that, but I love how you came across the name, and it's been such a pleasure having you on the program. And again, all of this information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You've probably got some stories left over once you had to go back and cut down that 800 pages to a more manageable level. Are you writing anything now, working on anything?
Well, no, I'm trying to think of what I should write about next, but one of the reviews said this guy has more stories than the Empire State Building.
Yes, yes.
Which I got a kick out of.
I love that.
But yeah, I want to, you know, obviously I've dealt with the thing that I'm most familiar with, which is my life. And I really do want to keep going. And I've kind of busy with the business of the book, but I definitely want to keep writing. It's something I really enjoy doing.
Well, hopefully we can continue this discussion. The big message in the book is Dick encourages all of us to pursue our desires without fear of failure. There are so many motivational tips in there, and it's not a manual to like how to improve your life. You just read Dick's story and what he went through and how he maintained his sense of balance and esteem and became successful in several careers. Doing it now in the nonprofit and in the publishing author business as well. Just Another Dick, the presumptuous memoir of a truly unimportant person. Dick Gary, our guest on the program. Dick, thank you so much for being with us on the program.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I really enjoyed it. You're great.
I have as well. It's been a real fun conversation. I hate to see it end. Hopefully we can continue. And again, my thanks to Books to Life Marketing for making this possible. Dick's website is justanotherdick.com. Information, of course, and a link for his website and his Amazon page on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. We're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.